Number 30, and 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And now, I can tell you this, I have a message written right here in my Bible where somebody preached to us right here at this church, and they had 13 points. And so be thankful that your preacher's only giving you 7, all right? It could be worse. I could double it up on you, okay? So this is a familiar passage of Scripture, one verse of it is, and that we know very well. We're going to kind of look at some things in this, and that one verse is what got me on this and got me thinking about or got me studying around this, and because I have talked to some folks, and just whether it be in the church or outside the church, and people are going through so many difficult situations, and they're all looking for an answer to their problems. How many of you has ever got in this dilemma, and you're calling everybody up hoping that somebody can say something that's going to make you feel better? And I need somebody to help me right there. You ever been in that place where you call everybody that you know? You call every friend you got because you want somebody. You're hoping that somebody's going to have one word or something, some phrase or something that's going to just be life-changing for you, and it's going to help you to snap out of this and help you to feel better and to get over this. And oftentimes, I've been there, and I won't lie about it. I've been there, and I've called preachers up and different friends and asked them, tell them my situation. And I always paint, come on, help me right here. Our situation from our perspective is always a lot better when it's in regard to us, amen. But I've done that, and wanting somebody to encourage me and maybe affirm or give me some assurance about the way that I'm feeling about it. And I just kind of got on this whole thought, and we'll take a look at it in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I'm only going to read, I'll read 9 or 10 verses, all right? The Bible says in verse number 1, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And let me say this before I go any further, just so you'll know about Ziklag, all right? Ziklag was the city that was given to David and his men to dwell in by King Achish, who was a Philistine king. All right? David, and I'm going to get into this in the sermon, but David was living in the land of the Philistines. The very people that God had used David to greatly defeat, he was finding a dwelling place in the land of the Philistines. And Ziklag was a city that was given to him and his men for them to dwell in, all right? So we see in the very first verse, we see the city, or David and his men's dwelling place, attacked by the Amalekites. Now, just for reference, we know of the Amalekites. We can go all the way back to Exodus, and we can find the Amalekites attacking the children of Israel. They attacked them from the rear, unprovoked, and because of that, God said that he was going to wipe them and their name off the face of the earth. All right. God used Joshua to destroy or to defeat the Amalekites. You'll remember at Ai, the battle there at Ai, where Joshua sent men, and they only sent a few thousand men, and they were defeated. And then they went back and they did it the right way. All right. And then you can go all through Scripture. I think Moses, we talk about Moses and Moses defeating the Amalekites as he held up his hands and Joshua fought the battle. And so we see these Amalekites, and let me just say this, they ain't real good people. All right. And we can say that about them. God did. Okay. All right. So Ziklag is attacked and destroyed by the Amalekites. David and his men were off fighting or went off to fight. I'll get into some more background here shortly. But when they come back, this is how they found it. Everything was gone. All of their possessions were gone. And what wasn't taken was now burnt up. Okay? The Bible says, verse number 2, the Amalekites here, and had taken the women captives that were therein. Now, let me stop right here and say this. David and the men didn't know that the women and the children were still alive. Okay? as far as they know, they killed him. As far as they know, they didn't know that God was protecting the children and protecting the women. At this time, David and them had no idea what was done other than they were gone and the city was destroyed. It says, and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse number 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been in that place before? David and the children, David and his men, these are mighty men of valor, wept to the point that they couldn't cry anymore. They couldn't weep anymore. The Bible says that they had no more power to even mourn or to weep. They were in a bad place. Verse number 5, and David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David had way too many wives, all right? He should have stopped right here, but still had Michael. Michael ain't even mentioned right here. David wasn't smart either, all right? Now, verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, here's this great leader, this man that God used greatly to defeat the giant, Goliath. Here was a man that God used greatly in going out for Saul and defeating and winning battles. And they sang songs about David and said, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And here David is right here in Scripture, anointed, not yet appointed, but anointed. Anointed to be king, even though he wasn't sitting on the throne of king. But here the people were speaking of stoning him for what had happened. Now David probably had some responsibility, and we're going to look at that tonight. He did have some responsibility in this, but it wasn't all David's fault. Can I get a witness right there? So we see that they spoke of stoning him. And because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. As I looked at this passage of Scripture, this verse, it automatically came to mind that I was thinking and praying. It was how we can encourage ourselves. As I went on through this thing, I'll just be honest with you, I came for myself. This is why I studied it, for myself. And I hope you get a blessing out of it, but it was for me. And verse number 7, the Bible says, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And we'll stop our reading right there in verse number 8. As I was looking at this passage of Scripture, I want to go through the steps of David's life. I want us to look at some of the things that David went through leading up to this, and how David recovered all. How many of you know that Satan and the world is still in the business of taking things from God's people? He steals our joy. He steals our capacity to operate. I've seen people that get in such a depression that they can't even function. Children of God, and that they have been up under such great attack, and there's so much discouragement that the devil ultimately steals from them and takes their joy away from them. They serve. They come to church, but they ain't happy. And we've seen these type, and we know these type. Matter of fact, we go to church with some of these folks, and there's some folks in here that are struggling with the same thing. The devil has come in and swept into your life in an absence or in a time of vulnerability, and he has stolen some things from you. He's taken them. And the problem is that so many of us are complacent to just live with what's been taken from us. I need somebody to help me right here. We've been taught that we can't do anything. I was in, when we lived in South Carolina, I bought a baby Glock. And I like guns, all right? If you don't know that, I'm a Second Amendment. I'm talking about, I love it. I'd wear the shirt. I got a leather jacket. It's on the back of it. I love it. And I had a pistol I bought, and I carried it with me. As a matter of fact, when we sat in church, I had that pistol on. I sat up on the platform by Brother Larry, and that's where he wanted me. I either was with Brother Larry or I was with his wife. But I was armed the whole time. And anyhow, I had that gun, and I was real excited about it. I loved the little thing. And my child, this one over here that I'm pointing at, he wanted to play basketball. And we had gone to church that day, and anyhow, I wore it on an ankle holster, and I had taken it off and put it in the console of my truck. That day, I never did that, but that day I put it in the console of my truck. Anyhow, this one, he decides he wants to play basketball, so he goes and gets in my truck, and he moves my truck out and parks it in the street. And, of course, he doesn't lock it up. You know how responsible teenagers are. Somebody help me right here. And so, anyhow, we come home from church, and first thing I thought about, man, I forgot my pistol. You know, it was on my mind while I was at church. And I get home, run to my truck, open up the console, and it is gone. I mean, like Justin Ply, gone. Justin, you know what I'm talking about. Guns being stolen all the time and everything. Anyhow, the gun was gone. I remember I was thinking to myself, man, these people were breaking into our house or breaking into our vehicles. They weren't really breaking into them. You left your car unlocked. They go in. They take all kinds of stuff out of your car. So I was talking to the police officer. I was like, look, how can I fix this? I mean, you know, can I stand out there with a baseball bat? I need somebody to help me right here. Can I hide out there and maybe just, you know, beat somebody down if they come get in my car? Can I shoot somebody? I'll get up on top of the house with a gun. I mean, I can snipe. Somebody help me right here. I'm a good shot. I was trying to find out what all I could do. And basically, this is what I was told by the police officer. You can't do nothing. Thank you. Is everybody all right? Thank you. Thank you very much. I said, you can't do nothing unless you can run him down and hold him and restrain him. And until they get there, your hands are tied. You can't do anything. And I was thinking, man, ain't it a great thing that somebody can steal something from me? You can't do nothing about it. I mean, I was trying to figure out ways, and maybe I shouldn't say this openly, but I was thinking about getting in the vehicle, leaving it unlocked, and then saying they broke into the car with me in it and I had to defend myself. Amen? I don't know if it'll work. I'll talk to y'all later about that. But anyhow, there's all kind of thoughts going in my mind. But what aggravated me the most was they said there ain't nothing I can do about it. And I'm going to tell you something, I hate a thief. Don't get quiet on me. I think you're a thief, all right? I can't stand somebody that'll take from somebody else. I can't stand that. Just something about that. But you know what? The devil does it to us all the time, and we've got the mentality, just like that police officer demonstrated to me, we have this mentality that we cannot pursue it, and we can't go after it. But I thought, right here, God gave David not only permission to go after it, but God said, hey, you're going to get him, and you're going to recover it. All. Can I say tonight, I hope we leave out of here having recovered some things in our own lives, all right? I want you to take a look, though. Let's take a look at David's life real quickly because we don't have a lot of time. I want you to notice the rebellion of David, all right? Now, it's not in our passage of scripture right here in chapter number 30, but this is a result of it. In chapter number 27, in verse number 1, and I'll read that verse to you. It says this, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. David had gotten to a point in his life where he was tired of running and fighting a battle. He was running for his life because Saul was chasing after him. You'll remember the stories of the cave. You remember the stories of Saul looking for David and trying to kill him. David in chapter number 27 and verse number 1 came to the point in his life where he was sick and tired of being chased. He was sick and tired of fighting the battle. And he sought refuge in the land of the enemy. Now listen to me and listen good, because all of us are guilty of this at times in our life. We get tired of fighting the Christian walk. We get tired of fighting the Christian battles. And we go back to being like we were in the very beginning. before we get saved. We go back to the same friends that we used to have. We return back to the same places that we used to frequent. Why? Because we are sick and tired of fighting the battle. Bless our hearts. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing easy about being a Christian. I need somebody to help me. I was talking to somebody today that recently was saved. And I said, how's your day? How's your week been? They said, it's been a rough day. And I wanted to say, praise God, I know you got it. Somebody say amen. You saved. If it's been rough since you are saved. Hallelujah. It's one of those things, people. I say it all the time. This ain't no bed of roses. It's a tough life and it's a difficult life. Why? Because you once belonged to the devil. And if there was anything that he could do to get you back, he would do it. But I'll tell you this, he will make it difficult in your life to serve God and to take others from him. We say this all the time. Shawnee made mention of it Sunday night. But if you're not a threat to the devil, he'll leave you alone. But I say this, if you're a threat to him, and we are, every single Christian is a threat to this devil. If you and I live our life, a changed life in front of individuals, they will want what you have. But David rebelled against God. God told him to stay in Israel. God anointed him as king of Israel. And David was running from God. He was running from responsibilities. And he ran right headlong into the land of the enemy. And so many Christians are doing it today. Man, you want to know, here, there's somebody on your mind, and here's the question. Brother Robbie, where are they at? More than likely, they're back in the land of Philistine. Brother Robbie, where have they been? More than likely, they're in the enemy's camp. Why? Because we all get discouraged, and we all seek to protect ourselves from... Am I preaching to anybody tonight? We all seek to protect ourselves from the attacks of the enemy. And the best way to do that is to get right back in his backyard. And that's exactly what David did. He decided he was going to go live in the land of the Philistines. Why? Because Saul wouldn't pursue him there. And for a year and 4 months, David lived in a place that he never should have been. Now, I'm going to show you something right here. You want to talk about the long-suffering of God? God could have stopped it a month into it. But God wanted David to repent. God wanted David to return. And a year and 4 months, the Lord was long-suffering to David as David went back into the world. And let me say this, just because somebody's been outside of the church for a little while doesn't mean they was lost. I need somebody to help me tonight now. We heard of preachers that they lost today. They didn't get it. Bless God, I'm going to tell you something. The Christian life is rough. And David ran, and there are Christians that are run. But I'll say this, God loves us enough to bring us back. And we're going to see that in the providence of God here shortly. But we see his doubt. He doubted whether or not God could protect him, and so he ran. Can I say this? A lot of times in our life, we don't doubt whether or not God can. We doubt whether or not God will. I've already said that over and over again. I want you to understand that. David doubted whether or not God would save him. And so he took matters into his own hand. He said, I'm going to take care of this myself. And so we see his doubt. We see his departure. He left. We see his decline. Now, this is where I'm giving you a little more background than I give you an introduction. But here in chapter number 29, what I didn't read was this. David had gotten so comfortable in the land of the Philistines that he offered to help the king go to war against Israel. I'm going to preach this because it just sounded real good just like that. David got so comfortable being where he wasn't supposed to be that the very people that God anointed him to protect became his enemy. Now, don't that sound like the church? Somebody get outside of the church, go back to their old lifestyle, go back to the world, and then all of a sudden, everybody in the church that calls and tries to talk to them or calls and tries to encourage them to come back becomes an enemy. Oh yeah, this thing had gotten bad. David and his men, the men that were there, God had anointed him to kill Philistines. That's what he did. That's what he was known for. And now he's joining forces with the Philistines to go fight God's people. Oh, yeah, man, we got quiet on that point, didn't we? Man, what a decline.
That's right.
To go from, listen, the more comfortable you get in the world, the more the church is going to become an enemy to you. I need somebody to help me right here. Say, preacher, I'll get it right. I'll get back where I'm supposed to be for long. You may not have very much longer. And the farther you get away, the harder it is to return. The farther you get away, the worse you'll... I'm telling y'all this for a fact. You look at David, and David loved God's people. If there was ever a great shepherd, if there was ever a great king, it was David. David loved the people of Israel. David loved God's people. But David got away from God. He got outside of where God wanted him, God's will for his life. He got back into a place of the enemy, back into the world. And David turned his back on God's people and on God. And he was ready to go to war. Thank God. It was nothing but God's protection, but the princes of the Philistines said, we ain't going to war with David. David might turn his back on us. David might get halfway in that battle and decide to turn around and kill all of us. We ain't going in the battle with David. Send him home. And so David and the men of his men of valor, they returned to Ziklag, and that's where we pick up our story in chapter number 30. But I want you to see, I said it earlier, David had some responsibility in what happened at Ziklag. Is everybody with me? Now we like to all claim that we're Job-like. I need somebody to help me. We all claim that we're Job-like. I ain't done nothing wrong. And why is the devil attacking me? No. Come on now. Let's just get all honest and serious right here. There ain't none of us like Job. Ain't none of us. None of us like Job. Let's just get real honest. We do some things that we ought not do. We hang around some people we ought not hang around with. For me, it's church people. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Maybe. Well, probably not. But anyhow, the bad people I hang around are all preachers, all right? But we see the rebellion of David. And I want to put it all on our plate tonight, and I want to ask you this question. Do you see that kind of rebellion in your own life? Hey, stop. Time out. I know you can see it in others. We're real good at pointing out everybody else's faults. I'm asking you, do you see it in yourself? Because I'm going to tell you something. I do. Am I okay? I've been in David's shoes. I've been frustrated and hurt by people that were supposed to be the brethren. Got discouraged and just wanted to go back and do my own thing. Amen. And just worry about me. And everybody else can worry about them. I've been there. And I'm telling you, it's a dangerous place to be in. Because the more comfortable you get in that place, the more God's people become the enemy to you. We see the rebellion of David. Number two, we see the rejection of the world. I've already preached on this point, so I won't preach anymore. But the rejection of the world was the Philistines said, he ain't coming to preach. He ain't coming to war with us. He ain't coming to war with us. Now we look at that and say, they did David a favor. But no, God showed David favor. Because if God would have allowed David to go into battle against Israel, then he would have never been able to lead Israel. Is everybody with me? Listen, ain't nobody gonna accept him as king if he killed their brother. If he killed their daddy. If he come over there and destroyed their family, they ain't none of them going to just take up and follow David. So the sovereignty of God was at work in the rejection of the world. Let me say this. The world don't want you. Contrary to what the devil might tell you, the world does not want you. When you get saved, you're different than they are. You have conviction in your heart. When you do something wrong, it doesn't come as easy anymore as it used to. And just the mere thought of you going to church and sitting with somebody that ain't saved, they're uncomfortable. Yeah. Amen. They get very uncomfortable. Let me say this. There was a time in my life where I had all kind of friends. When I got saved, I noticed a lot of them friends didn't like to sit at the same table with me. Even the world rejects you. We see the rebellion of David. We see the rejection of the world. Number three, we see the raid of Ziklag. We see the attackers. I've already said in the introduction, this was the Amalekites. Amalekites is a type of the flesh in the Bible. And man, if there was ever an attack on us as Christians, it's our flesh. We see their attackers. We see their abduction. They took from David. They take everything. Can I say this? This world and the sin that you and I participate in is there for one purpose, and that is to ruin and to destroy our lives. We see the annihilation. They burned it up. As we move on, I want you to notice the revolt of the men. David, he found his men wanting to kill him. The very men that went to battle, the very men, I promise you, that would have stood up for David and stood in front of David on an onslaught are now speaking of stoning him. Boy, I'm telling you what, I don't know what it is, and I'm going to take the Bible for what it says literally right here, that they were ready to stone him. But I know this, that I suffer from this, and I'm sure some of y'all do. Boy, when I'm going through difficult times in my life, paranoia slips in, and everybody, come on now, somebody says, hey, preacher, won't you know I'm praying for you? Really? What you praying? You asking God to kill me? Is everybody all right? Hey, yeah. That man that canceled on us for the revival, he said, preacher, I want you to promise me you'll have me back. I said, oh, I'll make a promise. That's what I told him. I said, oh, I'll make a promise. That's how we ended the conversation. I did. I promise y'all. He ain't never preaching here again. I promise that. All right. I told him, I said, oh, I'll make a promise. I'll make a promise if that's what you want. Come on now. I need somebody to help me. We get paranoid and people start saying stuff and it starts. Y'all gonna act like it don't happen, but I'm gonna tell y'all something. Y'all come running up into my office, preacher. So and so said this to me. What do you think they meant? they were praying for you. I don't know, preacher, because they don't ever talk to me. I mean, they never talk to me, but then all of a sudden they just come up and say they're praying for me. That's kind of odd, don't you think? That's kind of odd, preacher. No, I don't think it's odd. But then 2 weeks later, I'm going into Michelle's office like, so-and-so said this, but what do you think? What do you think they meant by it? Hey, I'm going to take it literally for what the Bible says, and the Bible says that they were speaking of stoning him. But I'm going to take it and look at it in our lives. Man, we get paranoid about stuff like that. And man, hey, here they were crying out. And we see they're crying. We see the crowd. We see they're conspiring to stone David. We see the revolt of the men. This stuff happens in our own lives. We see a decline. We see the rebellion. We see the rejection. We see the raid. We see the revolt. Next, I want you to notice is the return, though. That's what I want to get to and what I want to preach. In verse number 6, all these things have happened leading up to verse number 6. And I'm sure if David could have phoned a friend, he would have phoned a friend. I'm sure David was looking for somebody or somebody to let him know that everything was going to be all right. But listen to me. The whole time that he was in the land of the Philistines, not one time is it ever mentioned that he sought the Lord. Not one time is it ever mentioned that he prayed to the Lord. Not one time he had the priest Abiathar with him, and not one time did he call the priest, get the priest in there, and consult God on anything. But God allowed some things to be taken from him. And what was David's response? He ran straight to God. The Bible says in verse number, I need somebody to listen to me tonight. You've ran to your mama. You've ran to your daddy. You've ran to your friends. You've ran to people outside the church. You've ran to family members and other preachers and other Christians. And you have yet to seek after the Lord. Good. David said, the Bible says in verse number 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I think this is where David repented. I think this is where David got his mind off of the things of this world and what was going on in his circumstances and got his eyes and his focus back on God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can say to me, it's going to be all right. You can say that all you want to. Please don't take this the wrong way. But your words don't mean the same thing as God saying, everything's going to be all right. I love you and I appreciate, but your words of encouragement don't hold the weight that God's words of encouragement do. And so while I appreciate it, I want to tell you that if you're in this place tonight and you're in this condition tonight, the only place you're going to find encouragement is in the Lord. Now, how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? I think there's some ways to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I think we can encourage ourselves in the Lord by, number one, I think we need to get back closer to Him. This is that return. There was a time when you prayed. When was the last time you prayed? Don't say it out loud. Well, don't raise your hand. When was the last time that you really had a good prayer session with the Lord that didn't involve a church building? When was the last time you had a real good prayer session with the Lord that didn't involve other Christians being involved or there with you? The fact of the matter is there's nobody that can encourage you like the Lord's presence in your life. I can remember times praying when I was in college, and it was like the Lord had just walked down to where I was at, got his arm, put it around my shoulders, and let me know, brother, I am here. I've not left you. I've not forsaken you. I'm right here. And there's no place in this world that you'll ever want to be if you ever experience that in your life. But you're not going to do that in the land of the Philistine. You're not going to do that while you're running. I need somebody to help me right here. He returned and he encouraged himself in the Lord. I believe he got his prayer life right. I believe he got with God on this thing. Let me say this. Another way to encourage our life is to go back and look at the things that God did in this Bible. Listen here. If God can part the Red Sea, then God can take care of what's going on in your life. If God, I need somebody to help me tonight. Seriously, we got to look at this. Either God's God or he's not. And if God can part the Red Sea, then he can take care of you. If God can raise a dead man after 4 days in the grave, then he can take care of you. What problem can God not solve if he can resurrect somebody that's been dead for 4 days and stinks? But you're not going to get that calling mama. It'll be all right, baby. It'll be all right. Get in that. Hey, go back. You know what I think David did? David said, man, I remember that night that the bear came against those sheep. And I grabbed him. Hey, listen, I grabbed him and killed him with my bare hands. Why? Because of God. Hey, it was the same story he rehearsed to Saul. Why not go back and rehearse it in your own life? How about that line? Huh? I wonder if David didn't have in that little shepherd's bag a little patch of the bear fur. I wonder if he had a little bit of the mane of the lion. I wonder if he had a little bit of the hair of Goliath. Come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. David had some things that God had done in his life that he could look back on, and he said, God delivered me from the giant. He delivered me from the bear. He delivered me from the lion. And God can deliver me from whatever I'm going through right now. He encouraged himself in the Lord. God is able. God is able. But you ain't going to get that from your buddy you used to drink with. You ain't going to get that from your friends that you used to run around with. David returned. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He told the priest, he said, go get the ephod. He ain't sought after the ephod in a year and 4 months. On that ephod, there was a Urim and Thummim. And that's how they got their answers from God. There was a black stone and a white stone. They say that they would reach in and one of them was a yes and one of them was a no. That's how they got their answers from God. He told the priest, he said, go get the ephod. You know what he was saying?
We're fixing to go to God with this.
And the next verse, I think it's verse number 8, the Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord. David, not only did David encourage himself in the Lord, not only did David get back to seeking the Lord, but right here we find him praying to God and saying, hey, I'm seeking this God. He was seeking God's will for his life. Can I take him? Can I go back and get him? You know what we would have done? We'd have run out there and done it, tried to do it ourselves. David's thinking right. David's returned. David's repented. David's got back with God. And we see him seeking after God's will in his life again. When was the last time, listen, child of God, when was the last time that you sought after God's will in your life? I'm not talking about trying to figure it out. I'm talking about getting with God and seeking after it. Not trying to analyze what's going on in your life and figure out what your next step is, but going to God and say, God, show me the way. Lead me in the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. Return to the Lord. The recovering of his belongings. We see a promise. Verse number 8, the Bible says that he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. I don't know about y'all, but I like them kind of promises. Amen. Can I say this? God don't want you to go without. And God ain't happy that somebody stole something from you, especially Satan. So let me say this. I'll go ahead and say this for all of us. We can and we should recover all. God will give it to us. Hallelujah. We see the promise. I want you to notice this, though, but there was a purging. I didn't read this, but in verse number 9, the Bible tells us that David had 600 men. And they came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. David recovering, in the recovering of his belongings, we see a promise, but we also see a purging. Not everybody can go with you to get your stuff back. Hey. Not everybody can make the journey to get your stuff back. Sometimes you got to go with a smaller force. Sometimes you got to go by yourself. David's army was cut down from 600 to 400. Let me tell you about this. David went in there and they defeated the Amalekites, and they were only 400 men that escaped. It said that he killed them from the dawning of the day to the sunset, and only 400 escaped. That's 400 men that dealt with a very large army. Y'all better get with me right here. We see God at work. I promise you it was a miracle. Here 400 men are. The Bible says that 400 of the Amalekites escaped on camels. They jumped on camels and fled. The rest of them all died right there by the hand of David and his men. We see the reign of the king. I'm done. This whole story, remember I told y'all that David was going to go fight Saul? Remember I said that? Back in chapter 20, they were trying to go fight Saul, and God wouldn't let him, and he ended up going back to Ziklag. While David was recovering all, remember David was anointed. David was anointed to be king. God's hand was upon him. For a year and 4 months, David was out of the will of God, not doing what he was supposed to be doing. God, I believe with all my heart, the Amalekites, the whole deal with Ziklag was an instrument God used to bring David back. I don't think God orchestrated it, because God ain't evil. And I don't think God orchestrated it at all, but God used it to bring David back to him. All right, listen to me. While David was recovering his stuff, Saul was fighting them Philistines. You know what happened to Saul in that battle with them Philistines? He got killed. While David, God was bringing David back to himself, God was getting rid of his enemy. God was dealing with that thing that had him oppressed and depressed, that thing that wouldn't leave him alone, that thing that drove him away from the will of God. God was dealing with it and destroying it. And we see one king's reign in and the king's reign begin. David went and took all the spoils of the Amalekites
And you know what he did with it? He distributed it to everybody. Remember them 200 that was still at the brook that couldn't go? The men that was with David, let me tell you how bad the men were. The Bible says they were wicked men and men of Belial. That's who fought for David. I need somebody to help me right here. I felt like that's some of the people of the church. Is everybody all right? Listen, I'm just going to say this. I don't want to be around perfect people. But they said, David, we don't need to give no money to these people. We don't need to give them other spoil. David said, we ain't doing that. The ones that went and fought for it and the ones that stayed behind the stuff, by the stuff, he said both of them get the same parting. It gets better. David said, we're going to take the rest of this and we're going to send it to our brethren in Judah. We're going to give them back. We're going to do something for them. You know what that led the way to do? David come right on in as king. Oh, y'all, I wish I could preach this like I'm thinking. David done wrong. David got out of the will of God. God brought him back. David recovered all. But then God propelled him to his purpose through his failure. Y'all get that about 11 o'clock at night. Y'all jump up out of the bed shouting. God propelled him to his purpose through a failure. Hey, and it hurt, but David got everything back. And some. Don't you stop fighting. Hey, don't let the policeman tell you you can't go recover. Sorry. You listen to what God said. God said, pursue.
That's right.
You shall take it. Listen, you can get your joy back.
Amen.
You can get those things the devil stole from you. You can get them back. You can get them back tonight. You can get them back tonight. And who knows, through this whole ordeal, as ugly as it's gotten, through this whole ordeal, God's just going to pave a way and propel you into your purpose. Praise God. I'm ready to run around a shout. Let's get around the altar and get our stuff back. Dalton, go to that piano. Come get your stuff back tonight. Come get your joy back tonight. Come get your peace back tonight. Come get your happiness back tonight. Come get your passion back to serve God. Come get your will back to fight another day. Come get strengthened. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Hey, repeat his promises in your prayers. Encourage yourself by what he's done. Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, there's so many across our building and, Lord, in our lives, Lord, that have come through this church, Lord, that have struggled. The devil has stolen from them, taken things from them. And God, maybe there's somebody in here tonight that's just at the point of losing the will of fighting anymore. Maybe they're getting close, Lord. May this be an encouragement not to go back into the land of the Philistines. Maybe there's somebody in here, Lord, that's already past that. Lord, they're in the land of the Philistines. Out of the will of God. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that they return to you. Lord, I pray tonight that they'd encourage themselves, Lord, in what you've done and your ability. Lord, I pray tonight they recover. And Lord, that they recover all. Lord, I pray for those that are fighting battles. Lord, may they find some men and some women that will stand with them and cross the brook with them. Lord, and go into battle with them. But Lord, if not, God, may they take peace that there's some that's staying by the stuff that's praying for them. Lord, doing everything they can to help them Lord, in a spiritual sense. God, I pray tonight, God, that you touch some families. Some families that are struggling financially. Some families that are struggling, Lord, in their relationships. God, encourage them tonight. Lord, may they return tonight. May they recover all. God, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray we leave out of here, Lord, encouraged, ready to fight, ready to keep on. Lord, most importantly, back in your will. Lord, thank you so much for your presence tonight, your ministering tonight. Lord, we sure thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.